and amen. Now our text for this morning are the opening words of verse number 4 of Song of Solomon in the chapter number 1. Let me just read those few words with you again in Song of Solomon chapter 1. The verse 4, it says, "Draw me, we will run after thee." Now the hymn writer William Cowper penned those famous words when he said, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb." And by those words, he was really expressing in his own life as a believer and in his own life as a servant of God a desire for closer fellowship and closer communion with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, as you read through the New Testament, you'll see that the Apostle Paul had that same desire. Though he had served the Lord faithfully for over 30 years, though he had witnessed and seen tremendous experiences of God working and moving, he still longed for more fellowship with God in his life. And as he pens his letter to the church at Philippi, he spoke of that longing when he said of Christ, his beloved Savior, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. There was a hunger, a desire, a deep-seated burden in the soul of Paul to know more of Christ in his heart and in his soul as a believer. My dear people, this morning we are reminded of the importance of the believer's fellowship with Christ. In the words of this little text this morning here in the Song of Solomon, the chapter 1 and the verse number 4. Here in the verse or in the chapter, the bride is expressing her longing for closer and more intimate communion with her beloved bridegroom. And she says to him, "Draw me and we will run after thee." And these words also depict to us in a very real way how the believer is to long after greater fellowship, more communion with his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, his Redeemer. This should be the goal of every child of God in life. No matter how long a person is saved, maybe they're recently converted, maybe they've been saved for many years, their goal, their aim, their ambition in life should be that of a closer walk with God, closer fellowship with their Savior who loved them, who gave himself for them. Can I emphasize this morning that this desire is vital? If the born-again Christian is to grow in grace, if the born-again Christian is to go on with God in their Christian life, and if they are to be used for God's honor and glory in their day and in their generation, it's for such reasons that I want us to look here at these opening words of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and the verse 4, where it says, "Draw me, and we will run after thee." Oh, dear believer in Christ this morning, this verse and these words highlight the vital matter of you living as a Christian in this world, in fellowship with God, in fellowship with your Savior, and in communion with your Redeemer. As we look then at this verse this morning, there are three things I want you to note regarding this all-important matter of the believer's fellowship with Christ. First of all, I want you to see here the meaning of this prayer for fellowship with Christ. In our verse, the bride simply says, "Draw me." That was her burden. And that really would show to us how the believer is to pray. To pray that their soul will be drawn out into a closer walk with God. It shows how the believer is to pray that their heart will be drawn out into closer communion with their Savior. You think this morning just as how a magnet draws metal to itself. So every born-again Christian is to pray that God, through the Holy Spirit, would draw him or her into closer communion with Christ. Dear believer in the meeting this morning, this is something you should be continually praying for in your Christian life day by day. As you journey to heaven, As you traverse the scene of time, you should be praying daily that the Lord will come by and that the Lord will stir up your heart and stir up your soul and draw you into closer fellowship with Christ, your Redeemer. Can I say this morning that such a prayer is vital, dear child of God? If you're to be kept from coldness in your walk with God, such a prayer is vital if you're to be kept from lukewarmness, if you're to be kept from carnality, if you're to be kept from bitterness in the trials of life. Dear child of God, such a prayer is vital if you're to know God's peace ruling and reigning in your heart day by day, that you are to know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Let me say this, such a prayer is vital, dear believer, if you're to be kept from backsliding and from turning away from the things of God. Such a prayer is vital if you're to know as a Christian victory in your life day by day over the world, over the devil, over sin and over the flesh. Child of God, as you read through your Bible, you'll find many examples of Christians who prayed in this fashion. Turn with me in your Bible back to Psalm 61. Here you have just one example, Psalm 61. And here you have David in prayer before the Lord. It was a time of great distress for David. But I want you to notice here in this distress, he didn't run away from God. As so many of God's people do in their time of trouble, they forsake God. They forsake the place of prayer and the things of God. David didn't do that in his time of need. Notice what David does. Notice his example to the people of God in verse 2 of Psalm 61. He says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." He cried to God in his need. "When my heart is overwhelmed." He was overwhelmed at this time with his need. He says, he prays, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Who's the rock there? The rock is Christ. And in this great time of need, David prays, "Lord, lead me closer to yourself. Lead me closer to the rock that is higher than myself and higher than all of my needs and troubles and cares and difficulties." Well, David in his time of need didn't turn his back upon his God. He turned to the Lord. Christian, that's the example you and I are to follow. In the time of trouble, in the time of difficulty, don't run away from God. Don't forsake the place of prayer. Don't forsake the prayer meeting. Don't forsake the means of grace to your soul. Seek after God and pray as David prayed in every situation, in every trial, that your heart and your soul would be stirred up to follow after the Lord more fully. I pray as the old hymn writer prayed when they said, "Draw me nearer, nearer to thy precious wounded side." That's this example here that the spouse gives God's people. When she says in this little text, "Draw me." Oh, every Christian is to pray daily that their hearts will be drawn out after God. By this very fact here that the bride prayed in such a manner and she used these words, "Draw me," it really shows you, child of God, that it is only by the Lord's own power that your soul and my soul can be drawn afresh out after Christ. And the Lord makes that very clear in his word. Think of what he says to his people in the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. He says about his people, "I drew them with cords of a man and with bands of love." And there it was, the Lord who drew his people to himself. Again, the Lord Jesus makes that clear in the Gospel of John when he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me may draw him." Oh, dear believer in Christ, because of your old sinful nature, you and I, left to ourselves, have no natural power to run after God or to run after Christ. My left to ourselves as God's people, our communion with Christ will grow cold. It will become dim. We'll end up like a smoking flax, like a smoking ember that has been lifted out of the fire and begins to smoke and lose its glow and its warmth and its brightness. Why, the psalmist realized that there was no power in his soul to run after God. He says in Psalm 22 in the verse 29, "And none can keep alive his own soul." O dearly child of God, you need to pray as the spouse prayed in her text to the Lord. Lord, draw me. Draw my heart, Lord, out after yourself in this ungodly world. O dear Christian, ask the Lord daily by His grace, by His love, by His mercy, by His power to draw your heart entwined in love with Him. Ask the Lord to draw you into a closer walk with God, into closer fellowship with God, your Savior, your Redeemer, day by day in your Christian life. Yes, we see here the meaning of this prayer for fellowship with Christ. But notice secondly here from our text, notice the arguments, or if you like, the reasons for this prayer for fellowship with Christ. Notice carefully what the spouse says here in her text and what she goes on to say. She says to her beloved, draw me. And notice the next statement that she makes. She says, we will run after thee. And here the bride is saying that if her beloved draws her heart out after himself, she says she will follow after him more fully. But not only would she do that, she will encourage others, stir up others likewise to follow after her beloved. Notice how she uses the little word we there. She says, draw me. Then she goes on to say, we will run after thee. And you know it will be the same for every believer in Christ. My, the heart of the believer is drawn into closer communion with Christ. Yes, that they will run after God with greater zeal and greater vision. But likewise, they will also encourage and stir others up as well to run after God and to follow after God in their life. You turn with me your Bible back to Psalm 51. Here you read of David's restoration. Here you have David returning to the Lord. David had sinned against the Lord as a believer. David had went on the way of backsliding. And he reaped a terrible harvest as a Christian. What was his backsliding? Well, it started off with him forsaking God's service. God gave David a work to do. He was to go out and to do battle with the enemy. But David says, I'm not going. I'm going to sit at home in my armchair. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to put my feet up. You know, when he sat back and he took it easy and put his feet up, the devil soon found plenty of work for him to do. Christian, let that be a warning to every one of us who are saved in this meeting this morning. If we sit back, if we neglect the service of God, if we put our feet up, so to speak, and say, well, I'm not bothering anymore about the work of God. Christian, you can do that. But I tell you this, the devil will find you plenty of work to do. And when the devil gives you work to do, you will reap a bitter, sad harvest as it was in the case of David. You notice what happened to David. The Bible tells us, yes, he forsook the service of God. He ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba. Then to cover and to hide his sin, he planned the murder of her husband, Uriah. He went down a very deep valley indeed. But you know, God dealt with him. He was God's child and God chastened him. God didn't let him stay in his sin and in his backslidden condition. And God broke him. He broke his hardened heart. Look at how David speaks of that in verse 8 of the Psalm. He says, there make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Sin always brings bitterness and a bitter harvest. And notice here in the Psalm how David confesses his sin. He forsakes his sin. Look at verse 4 of the Psalm. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And he asks the Lord to cleanse him from his sin afresh in the blood of Christ. Notice his prayer there in verse 2 of the Psalm. He says, wash me truly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And then he asks the Lord to restore him back to fellowship with himself. And notice how he prays. Look at verse 9 of the Psalm through to the end of verse 12. He says, hide not thy face from me. You see, sin had broken his fellowship with God. God had been afar off, and he asked God to come near now to restore him. He says, hide not thy face from me, my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I was praying here the Lord would come near, and that the Lord would draw his heart and his soul afresh out after God. And you know, whenever the Lord would restore him, whenever the Lord would draw him back to himself, notice how David goes on to tell how God would use him again, even to draw others to Christ, as the spouse intimates in our text this morning. For look at what he says in verse 13 of the same psalm. He says, then, when I'm restored, he says, I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be a converted unto you. And child of God, it will be the same in your life as well. When your soul is in close communion with Christ, in close fellowship with the Lord, in your personal life, yes, you'll be able to follow after the Lord with a greater zeal, with a greater cheerfulness, with a greater spring in your steps, so to speak. Prophet Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But not only, child of God, will you be enabled to follow the Lord more fully in your life. God will also use you to encourage others as well to run after God, to follow the Lord. Now your testimony will be like that of the Corinthians. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 2, what was their testimony? He said this, your zeal, he says, have provoked very many. In other words, by their life, by their walk with God, by their testimony, they encouraged, they provoked others to follow after the Lord. Christian, the Bible says that none of us liveth to himself. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Christian father, Christian mother, Christian husband, Christian wife, when you follow the Lord fully, you'll be setting a great example before your children, before your sons and your daughters to follow the Lord. Child of God, when you live for God in the workplace, on the building site, in the factory, in the shop, the farm, wherever you are on a daily basis, by your testimony, you'll be encouraging others in the workplace to think of God and to consider Christ and to follow after the Lord as well. Child of God, as you live for Christ in this community here of Market Hill, as you live with a testimony known and read of all men, what will you be doing to your neighbors, to those who know you in this society? My, you'll be encouraging them also to follow after the Lord. We've just had the recent Olympic Games over in mainland GB there in the summertime. The British team had great success, especially in cycling and in rowing. And they tell us now there's a great influx of young people taking up these sports of cycling, of rowing, all because of the success and the zeal of others and following that particular field of sport. Well, likewise, child of God, when you run after God, you'll encourage others to run after God. But let me turn it around, Christian. What if you run away from God? What if you run away from the means of grace and the things of God? What kind of an example will you be setting, Christian father, Christian mother, Christian husband, Christian wife? You in the workplace, you in the neighborhood. When you turn away from God, what kind of an example will you be setting? You'll not be encouraging others to follow after the Lord. But now if you turn away from God, you'll be encouraging others likewise to turn their back upon the Lord. Oh yes, see here the reason, the argument for this prayer. The spouse says, draw me and we will run after thee. Notice the meaning of the prayer. But notice finally this morning, notice the granting of this prayer for greater fellowship with Christ. Notice what the bride goes on to say in the remaining part of this verse. She says, draw me and we will run after thee. And then she goes on to say this. The king have brought me into his chambers. The chamber there speaks of a place of intimacy, a place of privacy. Now you see that the bride's burden for closer communion with her beloved has been answered. It has been given. And mine will be the same for every Christian who desires greater communion with their Savior. What does God say over in the little book of James? He says this, draw nigh unto God. And the Bible says, He will draw nigh unto you. Oh, Christian, it will be the same for you when you pray and long for a closer relationship with Christ. God will grant you the desire and the prayer of your heart. For does not Christ say, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What is the outcome of this prayer being granted? Well, you'll see two things here from the verse before us. You'll see that the heart of such will be enabled to rejoice afresh in the Lord and in His great love. Notice what the spouse goes on to say in the latter part of verse 4. She says, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. There she's speaking of gladness, of happiness, of joy, that she's now in a place of greater communion, intimate communion with her beloved. It has brought joy and gladness to her heart and to her soul. You remember, child of God, the two disciples grieving on the road to Emmaus. My, they were sad, they were sorrowing, yet Christ drew near and went with them, the Bible says. And what was their testimony? This is what they said in verse 32 of Luke chapter 24. It says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? Their hearts were stirred up with a fresh joy, a fresh gladness, a fresh love for Christ. Jesus drew near, and as the risen Christ went with them. Child of God, is your heart cast down this morning? Christian, are you going through the valley this morning? Let me say this, close communion with Christ will lift you up in the valley. Close communion with your beloved Savior will cheer you when you are cast down. Yes, close fellowship with Christ will enable you to rejoice in the Lord and in His love. No matter what's going on in the world around you, no matter what the world or the ungodly or Satan may throw at you as a child of God, when you're in the place of close communion with Christ, no matter what's going on in your life, in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in the world around you, you'll be able to say with old David of old, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You'll know a fresh joy in your heart when you get into close fellowship, close communion with Christ. Yes, there was joy in the spouse's heart that God had answered her prayer. But notice something else. There is also holiness. Yes, as well as joy, another outcome of close communion with Christ is holiness of life. For notice what the spouse here goes on to say at the end of verse number 4. The very last phrase of the verse, notice it. She says, the upright love thee. Now the meaning of those words in the original language of the Old Testament are simply this. They can be translated in this way. And it can be translated in this fashion by saying, they love thee uprightly. Now that speaks of holiness of life. Who is it that loves the Lord uprightly? Those who are drawn out after Christ. Those who are walking in close fellowship and close communion with their Savior. Child of God, see this morning that communion with Christ leads to a holy life. By the greater your communion with Christ, child of God, the greater your likeness to Christ shall be. The greater your separation from the ungodly ways of this world will be. Turning your Bible over to Acts chapter 4. Over in the New Testament to Acts chapter 4. And look with me at the verse number 13 of the chapter. Here you read of Peter and John. And I want you to see what the Word of God has to say about them. Acts chapter 4 and the verse number 13. Says, now if the ungodly, these were those that had rejected Christ, the religious aristocracy of the day. Says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, as far as the things of this world was concerned, they were despised, they were nobodies. Yet it says of the ungodly, the very enemies of Christ, it says they marveled. and they took knowledge of them. Notice what it says, that they had been with Jesus. There was something about them that stood out against the ungodly. They said, these men are different. These men have the stamp of God upon them. Why? Because they were men of prayer. Men who had been restored to fellowship and communion with the Lord. Go back to Acts chapter 1. And the verse number 14. Notice where you find them. In the place of prayer. They'd come back to the Lord. In verse 14 it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And now the mark of God was upon them. The ungodly saw that there was something different about these men. By the way they lived, by the way they spoke, by the way they acted. They had a testimony for the Lord. You know, there's an old saying, and I'm sure you've often heard it said, and maybe even said it yourself, that you become like those whom you keep close company with. Child of God is the same in the Christian life. When you and I spend time in fellowship with Christ, seek a closer walk with God, seek close communion with Christ, then we'll be like Him. Then we'll show forth more of the glories of Christ to a dying world, a needy world, a perishing world. Remember what the hymn writer says, by looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. This is how it was with the spouse. She says, draw me, and we will run after thee. Christian, here's a prayer you can pray when you go home this afternoon. This is a prayer you can pray when you get up tomorrow morning. This is a prayer that you can pray when you come to the prayer meeting tonight or the prayer meeting during the week. Lord, draw me, and we will run after you. How this is a prayer that needs to be prayed day and daily by God's people. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Let me say this, that if you're to know fellowship with God, then the problem of your sin and your iniquity must be dealt with. You see, the Bible asks the question in the book of Amos. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And my sin is grieving to God. The Bible speaks of God and says, thou canst not look on iniquity. Dear unsaved friend, you can only walk with God on earth and be with Him in heaven if you are saved from your sins. If you have repented of your sins. If you have your sins blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. This is where a walk with God begins. Turning your Bible back to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33. I want you to see there what God says to you today who are still unsaved. Ezekiel chapter 33 and the verse number 11. Look at what God says at the end of that verse number 11. He says, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? That speaks of repentance. You must turn from your sin. You must turn to Christ. Have the blood of Christ applied to your heart to have your sins blotted out. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God, when you repent of your sin and turn to Christ and trust Him as Savior, you can begin this blessed life of walking with God. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power. Become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. Maybe you say it can't be done. This is an ungodly, evil world. I can't walk with God. Yes, you can, through Christ. How do I know that? You read in the Old Testament of a man called Enoch and a man called Noah. They lived in ungodly, wicked days, a world that God destroyed with the flood. Yet what does the Bible say about Enoch? What does it say about Noah? It says this. And they walked with God. They lived in communion and fellowship with Christ. O child of God, may that be your desire day by day to walk with God. If you're not saved in the meeting this morning, oh, that this would be your desire as well, that you would repent of your sin, that you would come by faith to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Yes, the spouse says, draw me. We will run after thee. Oh, may this be the burden, the desire of every heart from the youngest to the oldest in this gathering this morning. For Christ's sake, for God's honor, for God's glory. We're just